Okay, here we go, hour number two. This is going to be fun for me, and I hope for all of you as well. I haven't talked to Jose or spoken to Jose in years, and he's been very busy. He's an extraordinary man. I kind of think of Jose Escamilla as an adventurer, a filmmaker. He has done some extraordinary things in pioneering new areas of research. His discovery of what we call rods, the old Roswell rods. Remember those stories that we used to run all the time on this particular website and on this program? The rods are still around, of course. And I wanted to talk to Jose about this. There's a lot happening in his life. He is really a gifted filmmaker and a courageous man, and has stood up to some real abuse recently, too, which we're going to try and straighten out as well. Hello, my friend, and welcome back.
Hey, Jeff, man. It's been a long time. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I don't know how long it's been, but it has been a long time. You are in the middle of something that is really fun, because 19 years ago, it was about 19 years, right?
Yes, sir.
19 years ago, Jose Escamilla discovered something in the skies, all around us, above us, perhaps next to us, maybe even on the ground sometimes, we don't know, a new form of life, or multiple forms of life. And it was 19 years ago, and that form of life was originally called a Roswell rod, shortened to just rods now. This was originally, yes, though, something that we have to give credit to, and you always did, Trevor Constable. He was the man who used,
yes,
cameras with infrared film in the, what was it, the late 50s he was doing this?
Yeah, from 54 up until 59, he was, you know, while our government was trying to figure out a way to cover UFOs up, he was filming them in the infrared, finding out that they have invisibility.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the first person to film and photograph UFOs using ultraviolet and infrared film. And, you know, I'm the rod father, okay? But Trevor is the rod godfather, man.
Uh-huh.
You know, I totally respect him. You know, he had a stroke about a year or two ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Years, but he's okay.
Hey, Jose?
Strong.
Jose?
Yes.
Here it was Skype connection. I don't like this. I want you to, let's see, I want to make sure. If I've got you, we're going to call you back on a landline. You're breaking up. I don't want to do this with you breaking up. I want to hear every word you've got to say. Email me your landline phone real quick, and we'll keep going on Skype, but it's popping out on us here. Not so bad that we can't understand you, but. So just email me your phone number if you would, and we'll call you back. It's all right, no big deal. I'm sorry to hear about Trevor James Constable. Wonderful man. Is he okay? I mean, is he able to get around, or was it a severe stroke?
It was a pretty nasty stroke.
Mm-hmm.
But he's fine. He's doing okay, man. You know, he's recuperated well, and he's holding up himself. He just can't go anywhere anymore, you know.
Right. Right. What an amazing life he has had. Extraordinary.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's the foremost authority on living entities that exist in the upper atmosphere.
Now, these
my internet.
You just popped out internet. Again there. I'm losing too much audio here. So just hang. Go ahead and send me that real quick, and I'll we'll call you back on the landline. So see, that's the thing with Skype. I've never liked it. It's not dependable. And now we have a story today that I'm just...
Can you see my number? Can you see my number there?
I'm waiting for the email to come through.
The email is really dragging. I don't know what's wrong. Jeez.
We'll get there. A story today about Skype, come to think of it, talking about Skype. Skype has been... apparently, giving information to the feds, emails, and things. So nobody can be trusted anymore, I guess, in this business of the internet. It's not a good situation. I just had that story in my hand about 10 minutes ago. We'll find it and read it.
Okay, Jeff.
There you go.
Is that better?
Yeah, what are you on now?
I'm on my cell. That's the only phone I have here.
Okay, yeah, we can understand every word now. That's good. All right.
Oh,
we've talked about Trevor James Constable, and back in the 1950s and 60s, Trevor was using cameras with infrared film to film things in the skies above us that were otherwise invisible to the human eye. What were some of the things he was capturing?
Oh, my gosh. He was capturing gigantic amoeba-looking creatures that exist in the upper atmosphere. And I'm talking huge. They were, there was a gentleman, a biologist named Ivan Anderson.
Oh,
Ivan
sure.
Sanderson.
Sanderson, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Sanderson. And he wrote a thesis on Trevor James' discoveries. He was at first very skeptical about what Trevor was bringing forth. So he went and set up his own infrared camera apparatus, and he started filming, and he started getting the same result, you know, as it comes about. And Ivan P. Sanderson was his name.
Yeah.
He said, look, we are dealing here with some things that are as small as a baseball or as large as a county.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, and the curious thing is that there is nothing we can do to stop them. Yeah. He showed examples of the photography he was taking, which is very close to what Trevor James Constable was snapping, and they were just these living entities. Trevor called them critters.
And, well, you coined the term skyfish.
Yeah, skyfish and rods. Yeah,
uh-huh,
and
uh-huh.
Trevor used to call them critters, and he was photographing rods back in the 1950s. You know.
Yeah.
So
it's well, you see, you have to think of the atmosphere like you do the ocean, and there are things living in the oceans, and there are things living in the ocean of air all around us. Why not?
Yeah, us humans here on the Earth are the bottom feeders of the atmospheric ocean where life thrives. And
remember the stories, Jose, about finding bacteria living at high altitudes and in the air above us? All kinds of things going on up there. Yeah.
The Air Force admitted that they were spraying chemtrails up there, and they admitted this back in 2001. I mean, I still have the article that, you know, it went right over people's heads. You know, it came out, and they said, yeah, we're spraying aluminum, barium, and oxides and all kind of crap up there. It says we're trying to kill bacteria that exist in the upper atmosphere.
Is that true?
Like,
they actually made that statement that they were trying to kill bacteria by spraying...
Yeah.
All right.
Aluminum, barium, oxide, or whatever it is that they're spraying up there, and that was their excuse. They said, we are trying
to clean up the
bacteria.
Atmosphere. How funny.
Yeah.
So they're hostile bacteria. I'd love to see that if you ever come across that story again.
I will send that to you. It's on one of my computers. But yeah, they have never denied that. They admitted it blatantly.
Mm-hmm.
And this was their excuse of spraying chemicals up in the upper atmosphere. They said we're trying to kill harmful bacteria that exist in the upper atmosphere. And that includes rods, that includes these DROPA, you know, the circular objects that appear to be living.
Uh-huh.
And they have a donut hole and a notch, you know, from the tether footage.
Yeah, now those apparently, if they are what we think they are, allegedly can travel up into space and back into the atmosphere, correct?
Oh, yeah. I have footage of them in our atmosphere. They are the circular objects with a notch and the donut hole in the center.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevor has photographs of them back in the late 1950s.
Oh, interesting.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And they're huge. They're massive. Massive in size and structure. So, these things have been around a long time, and I remember Donna Hare. She was one of the people that worked at NASA, and she was a whistleblower that came on with the Disclosure group early on with Stephen Greer, and she was one of the ones that was doctoring photographs at NASA airbrushing out these things, these critters, these creatures, these pesky creatures, they call
mm-hmm,
them,
mm-hmm.
that were interfering with the space photography from NASA back in the 60s, 70s.
Right, right.
So these
okay.
have been around a long time.
Oh, maybe from the beginning or nearly after the beginning. Hold on just a second. We'll come back with Jose Escamilla. If you're online, notice under his name and guests, you'll see some pictures. Frame images of rods. Take a look at those. There's some comparisons there. We're going to talk to Jose about the effort, most recent effort to smear his discovery. Well, not his discovery, but certainly his efforts to popularize and make the public aware of the fact that there are things living in the atmosphere, animal life forms of some kind, that we can't see easily. And we'll do that in just a minute. Okay, and we're back. If you just do a search for RODS, R-O-D-S, or Jose's name, Jose Escamilla RODS, or Roswell RODS, you'll find a ton of material online, videos, video grabs, freeze frames, as it were. And you can see what the story is all about. It has been around for quite some time, 19 years with Jose, but going back to the 50s with Trevor James Constable. Now, what was this deal? I missed it. I don't have television. But this program called The Monster Quest tried to really discredit you and all of your work. Why did they do that when they're supposed to be interested in things like you've discovered and promoted? What's the deal here? Tell
you
us
know,
the story.
I was approached by the Monster Quest producers back in 2006. And Monster Quest is a favorite of my programs, man, up until this happened. And this the guy that they sent up first, I forgot his name, he was a total jerk. He totally started filming me over at the Hilton over in Woodland Hills. And, you know, they paid me a substantial amount of money, you know, I got to admit, good pay. Not worth the grief, though. But the guy was total skeptic, and, you know, he said, are you sure they're not insects, and blah, blah, blah. And I said, no, it's a real deal. But anyway, after him, the Monster Quest people fired this guy, or allegedly they fired him, and they sent another guy named Thomas Phillips to come and interview me in 2007, February of 2007. And the guy told me that there was no script, that he was just told to, you know, film me in front of the computer, blah, 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 and that they were going to do an honest presentation. They were going to show all of my evidence, which they did, you know. But he didn't tell me they were going to debunk everything, that they were going to lie to the viewers and, you know, the American and world public about what rods really are. So they did this, you know, one-hour special on Monster Quest. It aired in February of 2008, and they came to the conclusion that rods are nothing but misfilmed insects. And the way they manipulated the audience point of view is they allegedly conducted all these tests. They did all of the research and the evaluations and all this stuff. And they ended the film, the show, with a night test of a high-speed camera and a regular camcorder, which is a bozo no-no where it comes to filming UFOs and rods, because when you film at night with any camcorder, you compromise the quality of the imagery. You have to shoot at a very low shutter setting, and anything that flies before the camera is going to be it's going to be a motion blur. There's also the auto normal settings that you can film in broad daylight, and that's what they did. They used the naivety of the viewers, knowing that they have no idea when it comes to technical aspects of, you know, camcorder technology. And they presented the rods in a light that they said there's nothing but insects. And boy, they dropped the hammer on me, because a lot of the viewers that were followers of rods at that time they turned on me. I mean, I started getting death threats, Jeff. People that were saying, you know, you should die for hoaxing insects and making them, you know, be something they are not. You know, you should be dead for that. I mean, that kind of stuff. There were some very, you know, cruel people out there that felt
yeah.
that I should die
yeah. right.
you know, for hoaxing. And
mm-hmm.
I go, I'm not hoaxing this. You know, so it was, you know, people are quick to take judgment on you, and they didn't realize that they had been fed, you know, a bunch of bull crap by the Monster Quest producers. And it's been 5 long years of accusations and demeaning, you know, verbiage and all
wow.
this kind of thing. There's been web forums based on my rods that are calling me a fraud, a hoaxer, a con man, all this kind of stuff. So I finally, after 5 years of abuse and everything else, I went to Las Vegas, Nevada this last weekend. I'm an avid UFC mixed martial arts fan, okay? And Joe Rogan is one of my, I'm one of his fans. I mean, his commentary on the Ultimate Fighting Championships and Bruce Buffer and Michael Goldberg, all these guys, you know, I'm fans of theirs, you know, and I went to this fan expo. And I got on the microphone because I wanted to tell Joe, hey, man, it's me. We got new evidence on Rods, and I'd like for you to narrate my next movie. And the guy just totally humiliated and ridiculed me. And he was claiming, you know, the thing that he thought, at first he believed in the Rods, and they were extraordinary. And then Monster Quest came out, and they found out they were only insects. And, you know, I'm in the audience, and, you know, he says, you know what I want you to do, Jose? I want you to just do mushrooms, dude. That's it. You know, which to me, Jeff, it's okay. You know, the guy's a comedian.
Yeah, but he's not funny.
Else, but he was misled. He was misled.
Yeah.
He was totally misled.
Well, he did no. He did no. He did no research. He did. He didn't do any honest research.
Yeah, and a lot of detractors, you know, people that supported, and then they said, we saw Monster Quest full of crap, and you're lying, you're a hoaxer, you're a con man, a fraud. I mean, I went through all this for 5 years. Fish broke the camel's back, and then I, you know, a few days ago I produced this film called Jose Escamilla versus Monster Quest Part 1, which I sent you today, and I put it up there, and it's out, and it shows you how the producers of Monster Quest turned Rods into a lie. They basically just, you know, created this myth, and I'm tired of it, Jeff, and this is why I'm coming out with the new evidence. There is incredible new evidence of rods taken in infrared and underwater. I mean, there's a rod activity in the ocean off the Surigo.
Well, I first saw many years ago, I think it was a National Geographic piece of videotape that you got from them underwater,
yeah.
and it showed a rod swimming right by the location of the divers. I remember seeing that in color on your TV.
Yeah, that was in one of my first Rods videos,
yeah.
and so did everyone else. But, you know, the power of television, the History Channel is supposed to be a historical channel. They're supposed to be telling you the truth. You know, it has that reputation. But, you know, the Monster Quest people just totally lied, man. They have no integrity. They are total deceitful. They're evil, as far as I'm concerned. And they treat people like dummies. You know, they just totally... annihilated the rods phenomenon, you know.
Well, rods are real. They're going to be around a lot longer than Monster Quest, so we'll just keep putting
Absolutely.
It out there. Keep putting it out there.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come right back and take a look at some of your pictures in just a few. We'll be right back. Okay, and talking to Jose Escamilla, superb filmmaker and adventurer, researcher. Okay, if you'd like, Jose, we can... Did you have anything else you want to say about Monster Quest, or have you wasted enough breath on that?
Well, no, you know, I've got a video up there. They can go to tblnfilms.com. They can go to my YouTube channel and see Jose Escamilla versus Monster Quest. You know, it's there
I put it up in guests right under your name as well. Exposé of the Monster Quest, Smear of Rods. It's right there.
And they're not the only ones, Jeff. I mean, there's the Proof Positive. A TV series that was on back in 2006, 2005, and these are the producers of Unsolved Mysteries. Remember that show? That was one of my favorite shows.
So of course.
Show called Proof Positive. They did the whole thing on the rods, and they would not show me the script. They didn't show me any of the rushes or any of the clips. They said, "Oh, we're doing a good job on you." I go, "Yeah." So they right. also did the insect thing. And then you have Fake or Fact on Sci-Fi, and they didn't even have me on. They just did a conclusion that rods are nothing but insects. Then you have Mythbusters. I'm not even going to talk about those idiots. You know, it's just like the only programs you see on these networks, unfortunately, are the ones that follow their agenda. And their agenda is to keep people in the dark, to keep people dumbed down enough to where they have no idea what's going on. You know, and I'm not here for that, man. This is why I did back in 2001. I did UFO, the greatest story ever denied, is because, you know, I had seen the TV special with Peter Jennings on ABC, and it was about UFOs. The first hour was incredible, superb, man. They presented all the
exactly.
UFO cases and everything else, mm-hmm. and then the second hour
was like they turned the coin over.
Yeah, they brought these debunkers and skeptics and destroyed all the evidence, keeping people confused. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do a movie or a documentary that's going to tell exactly what happened. And I'm going to leave these idiots out of there because they're non-existent as far as I'm concerned. You know, they're just paid debunkers. But here's the real story about UFOs. And, you know, UFO, the greatest story I've denied, has been bootlegged and seen by millions of people. Over 12 million people have seen it for free
wow.
on Google. I mean, I've mm-hmm. been devastated financially. You don't know half of it. But the bottom line is, I am the kind of guy that when I present stuff, I'm presenting the evidence as it presents itself. I'm not making stuff up. I don't need to. You know, and this is why this Monster Quest thing has been a bug. I didn't even mess with it for 5 years. I let it go through thinking, well, you know, it might pan out that everybody will come back and, you know, they'll know that I'm not full of it. Well, it hasn't been that way. And when Joe Rogan ridiculed me in front of this live audience of 500 people this past weekend.
That was really disgusting.
I know. I said, you know what? That's the end of this, man. I'm going to... and I'm not after Joe Rogan. I mean, he was as naive as the viewing audience of Monster Quest. He was fooled. It's like he was made a jackass out of himself, you know, as well as other people. So what I did, and I did this in a day or so when I got back from Vegas, I said, you know, here's what they did, guys. Jeez, pay attention, man. This is what's happening. Here's how they fooled you, made total fools out of you, including Joe Rogan. You saw my piece. And hopefully... he has any integrity, he'll call me and apologize, make a public apology, and you know, help me revamp the phenomenon Raj, you know, because there's a lot more to discover about these things, man. They're real, and they are incredibly
well. What about the cave? What about the cave? What about the cave of the swallows footage? Come on.
Oh man, you know, the sightings still persist there. I've gotten emails occasionally from some of the locals there. Over the past 10 years, and they've seen them, man. They see them coming out and going into the caves. I mean, it's just an incredible thing. There was also in the Philippines, in Mindanao, there were some caverns there that they started photographing rods for the first time. The Philippines had never heard of them.
Hmm.
And then they photographed these things, they filmed them, and they go, oh my gosh, what are these? You know, and oh, Jeff, you know that one, they call it a UFO. That had an S curve at the end of the torso that was filmed over Norway recently.
Oh yeah,
it made regular media headlines, and
mm-hmm.
They mm-hmm. even the skeptics admitted this is not fake, it's real.
Right.
It has this S-curve. Guess what? We have the same object flying over New Orleans, and I think I sent that to you. I think it's photo number 4.
We'll take a look at the photos. We'll take a look in a minute. Go ahead and finish.
But it's identical to the Norway UFO. It was a rod that they photographed.
Mm-hmm.
And they were admitting it's not fake. It's the real deal. It's a strange unknown object because of the S-curve configuration. Well, that's part of the undulatory wave bend. So it's all coming about, Jeff. And I think this is 2013. They're finally making themselves known in multitudes all over the world. People call them UFOs because of the Monster Quest show. They refuse to admit the rods, but that's all changing. It's all going to change, and I'm coming out with part 2 of the Monster Quest fiasco because I have to. There's a lot more to that story, and I ain't done with them. So
good.
And I appreciate you having me on the show and discussing this. Because
that was when I saw that video. I was appalled. Just appalled. You don't treat people like that. You do not do that in public.
Yeah.
This doesn't happen.
And it was all because of false information.
Yes, of course. All right, look under Jose, and you'll see new frame images of rods. And click and open that up, and we'll start on that. We've got to take a break here in just a minute or so. But now, explain how these photos came about. What process? Are these
from
film, or are they from
digital
video, or what?
It's digital video. Using ultraviolet and infrared filters, just like Trevor James Constable did in the 50s.
Okay.
And there's a gentleman in New Orleans, Louisiana. His name is Sean Gautreaux. And I got in touch with him by accident. I did another radio show, and they said, have you seen Sean's stuff? And it's incredible, and it's great new positive proof that rods are real, and I'll go into that after the break.
Okay, very good. These pictures are real interesting, as always, with Jose, and we'll take a look at them together. Go ahead and look at them now in just a couple minutes. Okay, let's take a look at these infrared ultraviolet filtered photographs that Jose has. The first group are infrared photos of rods, or a rod, depending upon which frame we're looking at. The very first one, tell us what we see here. We've got some clouds, and we've got two white objects up there.
These are infrared frame grabs from Sean Gautreaux's footage that was taken in New Orleans. Now, here's what's special about Sean Gautreaux. He's been investigating rods for over a year. He's been trying to get a hold of me for over a year, and we finally connected. And what's great about what he did is, back in the 90s, I did a camera test. I said, okay, high shutter setting, Skyfish protocol, an insect is an insect, a bird is a bird, a rod is a rod. Well, what Sean has done, taking it a step further, he has recorded rods, birds, insects, and dragonflies using infrared filters. And they appear as they do in the infrared zone, which is the invisibility light spectrum. So, I mean, you can still film birds and insects and dragonflies and rods using infrared filters. Even though they may be invisible, they still appear, and they have a certain signature footprint using this type of filter. Well, he has these insects, all right? He's got insects. He's got birds flying around in the infrared. They appear, they have white wings and a dark torso. They have dragonflies, you know, they're dark torso, and they have the translucent wings, and then they have, he's got insects, but then he's got rods. And they're high up in the sky. They're not close to the lens. You know, they are actually, he's filming in infinity mode, which means that anything very close to the lens will be invisible. You won't be able to see them. Even if you weren't using infrared, they would be just blurred, you know, blobs of blurry circular things, whether it be an insect or a bird. But he has significant amounts of footage that shows you the comparisons between birds, insects, dragonflies, and rods. And this is what's exciting about it, because without a doubt, rods have a different footprint, different fingerprint than a dragonfly. As you said, hey, man, that looks like a dragonfly, you know, and that one still frame that I sent you. And these are directly from the video footage. These are frame grabs. So you can tell a dragonfly is a dragonfly, a bird is a bird, an insect is an insect, and a rod is a rod. This is what I've been telling people since early 1994. And what makes it even more dramatic is the footage that he has. And, you know, I'm producing the final installment on Roswell Rods with this all-new evidence. And, you know, Jeff, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, Roswell Rods has been around a long time. That's been the website since the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Because rods. .com was taken by a Western palace, a Western clothier out of Texas. So I had to use Roswell rods.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something. The new movie with the infrared and the underwater footage of the rod, I wonder, and I want to ask your audience, should I call it life form?
Call it what?
Then underneath, life form. L-I-F.
Oh, life form.
F-O-R-M. Life form, the Roswell rod story.
Life form.
Yeah, life form.
Let me think about that. Let me think about that.
Yeah.
I think you might want to lead with the line, the Roswell Rods story, and then subtitle it, Living Creatures in Our Atmosphere, or something like that.
Yeah. Matter of fact,
Living Creatures in the Sky Above Us. Yeah.
Something. Right. You know, Trevor James Constable's book was They Live in the Skies, which was such a grand title.
Why don't you ask him for permission to use it again? Just title it The Roswell Rod Story, and then use his title as the second part of yours. I'm sure he'd do that.
I just may, and I'm going to have him on. I'm going to have him on this new movie. I mean,
well, absolutely. I think that's your answer. The Roswell Rod Story, and put Roswell Rods in quotes. Underneath that, put Trevor's title, and you'll have it. That's perfect.
I love it. All right. Well, that may be the final installment. And
Life form doesn't sell.
Yeah, I was just kind of thinking off the top of my head.
It's okay. All right, go ahead.
Do something, you know. But I just wanted to say thank you for having me on at the last minute tonight. It's very important to me because your audience needs to see Jose Escamilla versus Monster Quest Part 1. It's very important that they get tuned back in to what has been...
Well, you have dedicated 19 years of your life to, come on, research this phenomenon that was established as real in the 1950s. So to hell with Monster Quest, you know, just stay the course and do what you do. We'll support you here as we always have. And we got about 5 minutes left. Let's take a look at these pictures. Number one, I see three rods in the top picture. They appear to be flying in unison, as it were, from, I'm going to guess, left to right? I don't know.
They were coming up from the top of the frame, going downward.
I see.
And there's three or four of them, but in the video, there's about eight of them. You know,
okay.
The others haven't entered.
Now,
the
for
frame.
Our listeners, those are probably how long, Jose? What would you
guess? They're probably 20, maybe 30 feet in length and high up in the sky.
Okay.
They're not close to the lens at all. They're coming in above the cloud, you know, so they're pretty good size.
All right.
Whatever they are.
Okay. And picture number two is a tight formation of them, six, and then another one, two trailing behind them that I can see at least. Six in a group.
Yeah, that's a school of them. And there are
and then all on the right, there's three more on the right. There's one at the bottom. I'm seeing a whole bunch now. Okay.
Yeah, in the original footage, what you're going to see in the Roswell Rods movie, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Those are the ones that first come into frame. There's actually about 20 or 30 of them that fly in from above.
Wow.
And they're behind the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
They're far up in the clouds. But it's a school of them. They just, wow, they keep zapping in. They keep flying in. Just an amazing, amazing piece of footage. You know, it lasts about 3 or 4 seconds. Just amazing. And that's just a frame grab of the first batch.
Got it. Okay. Number three. It's an odd-shaped object. Looks almost like a goose, but it's not, of course. It's got a long, looks like a long neck and wings, but what is that?
That's the one, I think. I'm not looking at him right now because my internet's down, fortunately. But
well, it looks like it's white. It's right in the middle, and it looks like a long neck sticking to the right and wings back to the left of it. But those
okay,
are the...
That's the one. That's the one with the S formation. That's the one
okay,
that looks
that's
like
the one
that, Norway
like
UFO.
Like a Norway. All right.
Norway UFO. Yeah, I sent you that frame because it matches. If you were to look at the Norway UFO that's been publicized all over the internet and all over, you know, even Drudge, I think, presented it as being a bona fide UFO of some kind, mm-hmm. it was a rod. And this is a match to it, taken in infrared.
Very good. Okay, and the next picture is not magenta. It's just basically kind of a sepia tone. There's one rod above the cloud at the top, I believe. At top left. If you look at it closely, you can see they call them diaphanous wings, something coming off the side of it.
It's an ambulatory wave fin. Mm-hmm. They swim through the air with that. It's pretty amazing and pretty dramatic stuff.
Well,
I still think the cave
of the Swallows footage, you ought to bring that back, too. No.
I am going to have new stuff
uh-huh.
from the Cave of the Swallows taken by other people besides Mark Blickley.
I got it.
You know, the famous stuff that was taken back then, that was mm-hmm. you know, early on. But there have been other people that have visited the cave in the last year or two, and they have some incredible, tremendous footage that reveal these rods, man. It's just amazing stuff. They're still there. They still persist in that environment.
Okay. And
then
we got,
I sent you some insect stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Comparison. We have first one is of a bird flying. And if you take a good close look at that, if you have a magnifying glass, you can clearly see it is a bird looking at the underside of it. And the second frame is, as I said when I saw it, it looked like a dragonfly, and it is a dragonfly. No question about it. You don't fool Jose Escamilla, I mean, with insects or birds.
And then there's a little insect. I don't know if you can see it, but it's a little ball that's right there.
Yeah, right in the lower center.
Right-hand corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you have close-up shot, and I call it rod one and rod two. And that's one of the closest shots of a rod taken in infrared. And it's just an incredible new close-up of one of these.
And that has the boxed inset enlargement.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's up. That item is up in the sky, and it is it's flying.
Yeah. It's swimming mm-hmm. through the air.
Yeah.
And then I sent you two underwater shots of the rod with the shark taken at the Saragossa Sea by Eli Martinez, who is a shark rescuer. What they do is they go into the ocean and underneath these buoys, and they rescue sharks that have hooks in their mouths that were hooked by fishermen, and they were left to die. They, you know, the hook is still on their mouth and everything. So these guys, they go and they risk their lives to free them of these hooks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And while he's underwater, this was about a year ago or 2 years ago that he was filming,
mm-hmm.
and he captured a rod, fast rod, man. It just zipped through. And that's what you see there, the underwater stuff.
So, do you still have rights to use that National Geographic underwater footage?
Yeah, I'm going to present that in the new Roswell Rods film.
Good.
Because it's important footage. You know, it was shot with 35 millimeter film.
Yeah.
From about 25 feet under the ocean, and mm-hmm. you can see them leaving bubble trails as they enter.
Yeah.
Amazing footage.
I remember it. All right, stay in touch. Let me know as you make more progress when you get that Monster Quest second part up. We'll put that up too.
You got a deal, Jeff, and thank you. God bless you, and continue on, Gar.
All right. You be well. Take care, Jose.
Thank you. All right. You too. Bye.
All right. Jose Escamilla, and it is a fascinating topic, those rods. They're just amazing when you see some of the footage. I'm sure if you look online, YouTube, just enter rods or Jose's name, you'll find a lot of things to look at. Okay. Be right back with Hour 3.